Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So I said it was going to be a long and winding gospel, and it was a bit of a long and winding gospel, a lot of different things happening there. We'll get to the gospel, you know, very focused in just a moment, but just a few reflections. About 13 years ago, shortly after I was ordained a priest, I was ordained in June and Hurricane Katrina hit in August. And so I'd just gotten to know a couple of the parishioners at the Our Lady, not Our Lady of the Gulf, but at Nativity Cathedral in Biloxi. That's where I was assigned. And after the storm, I met with this guy just one or two days later, and he was a small business owner. And his business was completely destroyed. All of his inventory, everything, the cash register, all of it, gone. And his house, the same way. His house, his car, everything. He was just lucky to be alive. And I stood there, and he said, he kind of remarked, and I remember because he said it with a smile. He said, "This is all I got, you know, what I'm wearing. This is it." And I remember, you know, it still sticks with me. In that moment, he was poor. You know, he was poor. And I know some of you all experienced that. If not that exactly, something not far from that, or your families did. And I speak to parents. I speak to young fathers and mothers who have children and they're just kind of getting started in their life and their career. And there is this awesome weight of responsibility to have to provide for somebody, to have a roof over their head and a paycheck every week. And it can be so overwhelming, such a crushing weight almost. And I'm familiar with that truth. Also, and this happens from time to time as the pastor with a couple schools where people begin the school year with a good job, a very good job. Maybe they're making $100,000 a year and something happens and they lose their job. And it takes them a while to get another job. And then they get a job making $50,000 or $30,000 a year. And it's just not the same, you know. And they are struggling. And that, I know all of those realities. But I say all of that so that you don't think, "Father Mike, you don't know what you're talking about." Because I do know what I'm talking about, okay? But you're all rich. You can read this gospel and think to yourself, "Oh, they're talking about wealthy people. I'm not wealthy. Let's get on to the next gospel," okay? But you that have more than two or three pair of shoes in your closet, yeah, I'm talking to you. And the one that has so many pairs that they need to come see me in the confessional back there, okay? There are still people in the world that don't have shoes. There are still people in this world that have their Sunday shoes and they have their one pair of shoes for everything else. There's an expression. Well, the other day, recently, somebody offered me some food to eat. And they offered me some food to eat, and I said, "I don't eat that, you know. Yuck, you know." And then I thought of this expression, living high on the hog. I don't know, y'all know that expression. Maybe you've heard that expression. What does that expression mean? That expression means I don't eat pig's feet. I don't eat pork belly. I eat the cuts of meat that are high on the hog. I eat I eat bacon and ham and that kind of stuff, you see. Poor people eat pig's feet, not me. See, we don't even think about that anymore. That's just not even a thought. We eat what we like. But it was not that long ago. Some of your parents, and maybe some of you were raised this way, where you ate what you had to eat or you didn't eat. And we don't live that world. There's very few people in the United States that know that reality today. But there are lots of people in the world that don't have much of anything. But we have it all. Even the poorest people in America, most of the time, except for children, you know, the children really suffer. We have hot and cold running water. We have a closet full of clothes. We have plenty of shoes. We have a vehicle that works and a phone, and most people have cable television. But we oftentimes just focus on what we don't have, and we don't think we're wealthy, and we don't think we have much, and we don't think this gospel applies to us, because we call this gospel the rich young man. But it's really the young man whose possessions got in between him and God. It was the person who was so attached to their things that they were not able to hear and to see the call of God, that their heart was not open to the presence of God in them. And so we will get to that in just a moment. But in general, we're all rich. We live like we're rich anyway, even if we are living on credit. In my experience, not many people can see this. Not everybody experiences this. But the greatest riches, the greatest wealth that we can have is to have the wisdom of God in us, to know God, to love God, to serve God, and to be His disciple. See, there's another kind of poverty. We don't have a lot of material poverty, but we have a lot of another kind of poverty, and that's the poverty of wisdom, that we don't have enough wisdom. Now, we think we have plenty of wisdom and we don't have enough money, but in reality, very often we have plenty of money and not enough wisdom. And I'm not just pointing a finger at y'all, okay? I'm pointing a finger at me too. I'm well aware of this truth. Now, so what was the first reading all about? The first reading was about wisdom. I prayed and prudence was given to me. Prudence is good decision making. I prayed and good decision making was given to me. I pleaded with God and a spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her, that is wisdom, to scepter and throne. Scepter and throne are symbols of royal power, to be the king or to be in charge. I preferred wisdom to being the lord of others. And I deemed gold as nothing more than sand compared to wisdom. And so God wants us to hunger and thirst for wisdom and to recognize our great material blessings throughout history. You know, I really could go on and on about that, but I got to move on. But we live in a world where very often people do not think they are rich, and they think they have plenty of wisdom. And I just want you to think, maybe you have plenty of material stuff, but God's wisdom is something you could use more of, and I could use more of. So let's look at the gospel a little more closely. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him. Now we have to imagine the scene. Here's this guy. He runs up to Jesus, gets in front of him, and kneels down. He does homage. He humbles himself before Jesus. He knows that there is something special about Jesus. And so he begins, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" In other words, what do I need to do to go to heaven? Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." That's a little bit of a strange answer because Jesus is good. Jesus is one with the Father. But at the same time, this man does not recognize that Jesus is God. He's unable to see that yet, and we're going to know that in a few minutes. So he recognized Jesus' goodness, and then Jesus tells him what he needs to do. Keep the commandments, and then he gives him a little sampling of the commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, that means lie, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother. If we look at the Ten Commandments, three of them apply to our relationship with God. Seven of them apply to our relationship with neighbor. Jesus is speaking about how we relate to other human beings, not killing, not committing adultery, etc. And he tells this young man that's what he needs to do. And he says, hey, I did all of that. Now, maybe he did and maybe he didn't. We don't know. But I did all of that. What else do I need to do? And you heard the answer. But let's look at it. This is the most profound line in the gospel, and it's a line that I hope you hear because it's so important. Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, you are lacking one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. He didn't even say give everything to the poor. He said just give to the poor. Sell what you have, sell the things that you're attached to, and then come follow me. But what was the young man's reaction? Now, again, I'm imagining the scene. Here he is kneeling before Jesus, pleading with him, tell me, good teacher, what I need to do. And Jesus tells him, and his face falls. I can just imagine his head drooping down like this. His face falls, and he went away. And what was his emotional state as he goes away from Jesus? Do you remember what it was? He was sad. So his Lord, who loves him, looks him in the eye, invites him to eternal life in love, and his response to that is sadness. Sadness. You know, we live in a world, in a country, in a little town on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, full of people who have a lot of stuff, but have a lot of sadness too. Would you say that's a true story, a true statement? See, it's not even a matter of whether God loves you. God loves you. Jesus looked at this young man with love, but his response to that look of love was, I'm going to keep my stuff, and I'm going to be sad, okay? And it's a tragic story, in a sense. And then our Lord begins to unpack it a little bit and says how hard it is for people with wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the apostles, they don't understand this. They think wealth is a sign of God's blessings, and it could be a sign of God's blessing. But at the same time, not wealth that possesses us, like a demon possesses us. Instead of we possess things, things possess us. And it doesn't have to be money. It can be our reputation. It can be our pride, our ego. It can be a bad habit. It can be a lot of things. But it's like, no, I'm keeping this. And you can go away. And that's where we know this man does not see that Jesus is God, because he does turn his back on him. He walks away thinking that in his sadness, he's better off than being with Jesus. And then Peter steps up and says, hey, we've given up everything to follow you. And his answer to Peter is pretty amazing. Yeah, you know, if you've given anything up, I'm going to give you 100 times more. I'm going to give you 100 times more. And I think about that in my priesthood, that I have 100 families, 100 moms, 100 sisters, 100 brothers. And it's true, I really do. And a big house with I finally got the leak in the roof fixed, okay? But now the bathroom is messed up in the back. And persecutions too. But if we live this life right, joy. The kind of joy that only being with God can give us. Now, that's not just for priests. This is not about this young man being called to be a priest, although it might be. It's about this young man or young woman being called to follow Jesus and not be possessed by his or her things. And so today, I tell you, and again, please understand that I'm not trying to stand up here high and mighty, but I pray very deliberately, Lord, I don't want to be one of those people attached to my things that turns my back on you. I'm very deliberate. I want to be wise. This is a prayer that I pray. Lord, I want to be wise. I want to count my blessings. I want to be grateful for the things that I have, but I don't want to be attached to them. I want to be able to let them go. And so, my brothers and sisters, today, let the Word of God penetrate deeply into you. Let it separate that which is false from what is true. And learn the great bounty that we enjoy, and to be generous and to pray, you know, Lord, heal me of any lack of wisdom that I might have, that I may be a true disciple. The greatest riches that we can have is to know God, to love God, to serve God, and to follow Him as a true disciple.